we're good. Entertained motion to come back into regular session, executive session.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Arlette, come back into regular session, executive session. Question on the motion? Take a vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Arlette.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore, any possible action?
No, Mr. President. We had discussions concerning land acquisition and potential litigation where you heard from administration and council, and there's no action to be taken today.
Okay. In that case, let's move right to our public hearings. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lang, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers have already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the P&Z Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And Mr. President, we do have three hearings on today, and as I mentioned to you, we'd be requesting that the change of zone 1794 filed on behalf of JCBB LLC go out of order, go first. It's my understanding that a written application has been made to formally withdraw this matter. Is that correct, Mr. Lang?
I have a request to withdraw this application so that they can reapply. The applicant missed the public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission. He did not receive the proper mailing and time to be able to be present. I've got copies of the, we sent it to two locations. First one was mail returned by the post office. The second one, we have the slip but never got the green card back, so we don't know if it was delivered or not. We never got it back. The second public hearing for today, we got the mail returned again at the one address, and we got the return receipt. The applicant's present, but we got a return receipt that he did receive the notice. We didn't get the first one.
Okay.
So he's willing to withdraw and ask that he be council approve his request to withdraw it so he can resubmit and go back through the process.
Okay. Entertain a motion of council to allow change of zone 1794 to withdraw and move forward the process again.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Question on a motion. Take a vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Starlet.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Who yes, motion carried. Okay.
Okay, the next matter is conditional use number 2043, filed on behalf of Edward J. K. Mr. Lank.
Yes, thank you. For the benefit of council, before I read, I will pass down copies of a booklet that was provided by the applicant. Here, Mr. Cole. I don't know if you already had a copy or not.
No.
Thank you, sir.
There's a last, there's not one forever.
There's one forever here.
This is application for conditional use number 2043, the application of Edward J. K. It's an ordinance to amend condition number 19 of conditional use number 1431, being ordinance number 1530, to allow additional time to complete existing bar pit operations located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 200.5 acres, more or less. Property is located at the northeast corner of Route 531, Eskridge Road, and Route 533, San Filippo Road, with a 911 address of 22223 Eskridge Road, Seaford. Tax map ID being 331, map 4, parcel 49. Planning and Zoning Commission on public hearing on this application, and on during that public hearing, did hear comments from DelDOT, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Mr. K was present with Warren Rich Esquire and William Childs of Cheney Enterprises of Freedom, Maryland, and all gave testimony. Mr. K and Mr. Rich responded to questions and activities. There were two letters in support of the application. The commission found there were no parties present in support or in opposition of the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application and did defer action for further consideration. That motion carried 4-0. On March 24 of 2016, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 2043 for Edward J. K. to amend condition number 19 of conditional use number 1431. Being ordinance number 1530, to allow additional time to complete existing bar pit operations based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, conditional use number 1413 was approved by County Council on April 9th of 2002. Condition number 19 of that approval currently states, after 15 years, the property owner shall complete and pay for an environmental impact study as the phase is defined by DENREC, or any successor, upon certification of DENREC of owner's compliance with then existing regulations, the permit shall be extended for an additional 10 years. This permit shall terminate upon the expiration of 25 years from the date of enactment. Two, the applicant has stated that operations on the site slowed down during recent economic downturn, and that more time is necessary to complete all operations on the site. There are mineral reserves on the site that cannot be mined within the original time frame established by condition number 19. Three, the application does not seek an expansion of the bar pit area, only the time frame for completing the work that was previously approved. Four, these there continues to be a need in Sussex County for gravel and bar materials mined from this site. Five, based on these findings, it is recommended that condition number 19 of conditional use number 1413, be amended to allow for an additional 10 years of time to complete all bar pit operations, so that condition number 19 now reads as follows. After 15 years, the property owner shall complete and pay for an environmental impact study as the phrase is defined by DENREC or any successor, upon certification of DENREC of owner's compliance with then existing regulations, the permit shall be extended for an additional 20 years. This permit shall terminate upon the expiration of 35 years from the date of enactment. And six, all other conditions of conditional use number 1413 that are not affected by this amendment shall remain in effect. Motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to county council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and this motion carried 4-0. Mr. Wheatley abstained in voting on this application. I received no additional agency comments or individual comments to date on this application.
Any questions from council? If there are not.
How many years has it been?
A long time, Mr. Cole.
I remember it was approved in 2002.
So we haven't, 14 years.
14 years.
So we haven't done the environmental impact study?
The applicant will address that issue in his
presentation. The rest of the things, it looks like they're still,
Okay. Mr. Schrader?
Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, gentlemen. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown representing the interests of Edward J. K. and conditional use number 2043, which is scheduled at this time for a public hearing before the council. Excuse me, I have with me Mr. K., who some of you may already know from his prior business activities in the county. And I have also with me Bill Childs, who is the CEO and president of Cheney Enterprises, who will be taking over the operations at some point. We have provided you with a book that summarizes where we are today. Mr. Link has provided you with a summary of what the application is, and to be clear, it is for an extension of time, not for the expansion of the geographical size of the particular building permit or borrow pit. The conditional use was originally approved 14 years ago, and I believe that you will hear Mr. K tell you that there was a pre-existing pit there before that conditional use was granted. I have provided you with a copy of a tax map that will show you a location of the borrow pit, an aerial photo from Google Earth that tells us what's going on with the site, at least as far as satellite photography is concerned. There are conditions that were shown on the original settlement control plan approved by the county in February of 2003. And lastly, as a courtesy to the council, we provide you with a matrix of proposed findings of fact and conditions that may be usable by you if you were kind enough to favor us with approval of this application. At this time, I'd like to call Mr. K to the podium. And would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, sir. I'm Edward Kay. I've operated a business in Sussex County for 40 years now, or a little over 40 years. Started out as Kay Construction and have acquired several other businesses, Sussex Sand and Gravel, which is part of this company we're talking about today, Waste Recycling, Seaford Asphalt, Seaford Concrete Products, Mr. Mulch, and the Seaford Dock, which is a shipping facility for us in Seaford, Delaware. Approximately a year or two ago, I started looking at for financial planning advice, and in concern with my employees that I have now, I realized that I did not have a plan if something was to happen to me for the employees that I have to carry on the business. So that's kind of how this deal all came about. What we're trying to do here is, or what I'm trying to do here, I guess I should state, is to put together a plan so if something happens to me, the people who have worked for me, and some of them have been there for 25 years or 30 years, I have like 30 employees now, that them people will still have their jobs. And so that's part of the reason for this, asking for this additional time.
How long have you been on this site, Mr. K?
Well, 2002, we were approved for zoning. With the conditions that we had placed on us at that time, it was 2006 before we built the berms. We had to have a growing season. There's quite extensive stuff there that we had to do before we could actually open up the operation. So in 2006, we actually opened the operation. And then in 2007, things pretty much went downhill. It's the business was pretty slow.
Let me ask you this question. Was there any borrow pit there in existence before you took over in 2002?
Yes, there was an existing borrow pit in the back of this property, and this property also adjoins my first property that I had zoned for a borrow pit, which is actually located on Coverdale Road.
How far back are we going?
I don't know. A long ways.
Long enough that you want to think about retiring?
Yeah, that's it.
What are the day-to-day operations like on this site?
Well, we haul sand and gravel to local customers. We supply local contractors with material. We supplied our own business for years with material when we were in the road construction business and stuff. So we basically deliver local. Then we also have ship stuff anywhere in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. We're competitive with that Seaford terminal. So we've been fairly lucky there to be able to reach out and reach some places we couldn't reach by water transportation.
Before we get to that magical year of 2007, 2008, what was your extraction rate like at this site?
Before we get there, we were fairly busy. When the economy was good, we were busy. In fact, we were cleaning up the site at Coverdale Road. We were still operating out of there, which we still are, but we were running out of the material we needed at that site, and that was the reason for the expansion.
What happened in 2008?
Well, the economy went bad, and building materials dropped off to nothing, and business basically went to nothing.
What's it like now?
We're starting to see a trend back up.
So for the last 5 years, 6 years, you've not been as busy as you would like to have been?
I would say yes.
What do you think the ability of this site is to produce mineral extraction? How long do you think that will go on?
Well, that, of course, that's based on the economy. You know, how the economy goes is how it's all based on construction, really. And but we can't mine it in the time period that we have now.
And that would be the 15-year, 25-year blocks that were set with the...
That's correct.
In 2002.
That's correct.
Do you think you can get it all done within 10 years if it was extended 10 years?
I think with the partnership with Cheney that I'm involved in, if we make this deal work, I think we possibly would be close with the additional 10 years.
And as far as the current operation is concerned, you're familiar with all the other conditions that were imposed upon Eddie K Construction in 2002. You got 18 other things to do. Have you been able to keep with all the other obligations you have?
Yes, I'm sure some people have been in. I think we have. I think we've done a pretty good job. Lawrence stated that, you know, at the other planning and zoning hearing, that we had no complaints on the operation there. We burned the whole site. Some of you have probably been by it. I think it's one of the cleaner operations in Sussex County, myself.
And nobody tried to shut you down, right?
Not to this day.
Good. You want to take a seat for a minute? Let me get
sure.
Mr. Childs up here. Mr. Childs, for the benefit of our county council, at least the three that are still left, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Bill Childs. I serve as president and CEO of Cheney Enterprises, headquartered in Gambrills, Maryland, and am also a minority owner of the business.
And what is Cheney Enterprises?
Cheney Enterprises is engaged in the production and delivery of sand, gravel, and ready-mix concrete products, and I'm proud to say that we are the largest in Maryland.
And how are you involved in this particular project, Mr. Childs?
In this project, our intent is to work with the Kays, Eddie and Sue Kay, to stay with us for at least the next 2 years, and subsequent to this hearing, if we get a favorable ruling, we will take over the operation, be responsible for the operation.
And how long has Cheney Enterprises been in existence?
We've been in business for 53 years.
And this work that you will do with the Eddie K site is something that you guys have done for 50 years?
This is what we started doing in 1962 and is what we're doing today.
And you'd like to keep on doing it?
We'd like to keep on going.
Do you have a plan for this particular site?
Yes, the plan for the site, as we are we're operating in the Mid-Atlantic region, and you travel the sites, and the something that I would give the K's credit for, if all this goes well, the K facility will be the benchmark for Cheney Enterprises, who is already recognized as the best operator in the state of Maryland in the sand and gravel and concrete business. And I have some information with me I can show you that will back that up. But that operation, when I took my wife, who goes on all these strategic planning things with me, when we started looking at it approximately 2 years ago, she said, this is the cleanest facility I've ever seen. And it is a clean, neat, safe facility. And quite frankly, there's nothing there that needs fixing.
Mr. Kay just testified a couple minutes ago about the extraction rate before the recession, during the recession, and after the recession. Have you had, as a part of your due diligence, taken a look at this site and reached the same conclusion that Eddie did?
Yes, not only the same conclusion that Eddie did, but our business has experienced the same trends.
And if this conditional use is granted, it will allow you the opportunity to continue to mine and extract, borrow from this site for an additional 10 years.
That is correct, and in doing so makes it economically feasible.
And this site has the resources to do that?
Yes, sir.
And lastly, is there an economic demand for it?
Yes, and again, I have a brief presentation, but the demand for the concrete is 1.2 cubic yards per person per year. For sand and gravel, it's 1,684,000 pounds per person in their lifetime. And quite frankly, the birth rate is increasing. As long as the birth rate increases, there will be a demand for this product. There's nothing to replace it.
Would you like to do your presentation?
If the county council would like, I have a very brief PowerPoint I would like to show you, because we're new. And if I did it because if I was in your shoes, I'd want to know a little bit about the new guy.
Help yourself.
And I will supplement Mr. Child's comments by saying Mr. Cheney wants to be a good neighbor. And this will be one business that you can compliment yourself for. Mm-hmm. We're also going to point out that Mr. Childs has an assistant.
Yeah, we have coming up.
Not only has he been in the business long enough to know what he does, he also knows when to hire somebody to help him with the computer.
I understand. Sure.
For the record, I did that. I almost did that myself. So thank you very much for the opportunity. I'll make this brief, but again, if we're afforded the extension of this permit, we are very excited about being members of the business community in Sussex County, Delaware. We're also excited about being welcome members of the community, and hopefully this will help you make that decision. You've met Eddie and Sue Kay. I would like to introduce the other members of our team that are here today. Becky McCollum, who has been with us for 18 years. She has had operational responsibilities, administrative responsibilities, currently serves on our executive team and works in the strategic acquisitions, just like we've been involved here. Kyle Murray. Kyle is the project manager in charge of land acquisition and mining operations for Cheney Enterprises. And my wife of 35 years, who's involved in all of this, Vicki, is with us today. We are a different kind of company, and we start off by being different in that most of our competitors now are large international companies or national publicly held corporations. We are a closely held, primarily family-owned business, of which I'm not a family member, but I am a minority owner. If there is ever a problem, the K's will be here. We're here. You can find us. We're easily accessible. And one of the things that we do that has helped make us successful, our people, of which is now about 567 members of our team, we clearly communicate what we want to do and how we want to do it. The what is we want to be the best in our industry as deemed by our customers, our communities, and our neighbors. And that is the goal. And nationally, we're rated, quite frankly, in the top 4 to 6% of companies in our industry. The mission statement tells all of our people how to do it. It's all about providing quality products and service while maintaining environmental responsibility and an overriding factor of having a safe operation. We have 10 corporate goals. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I do want to hit four of them. The first one is safety. We have an impeccable safety record. We have a culture of safety. We have an insurance modifier that is the envy of the industry. And as I will show you briefly, we have had no reportable accidents or accidents, since 2011. The people are truly the key of our business. Everyone in our business participates in the success of the business, including the people at Sussex Sand and Gravel, which is this what this is all about. And we have a performance compensation plan which allows the people to participate and gain up to 35% above their base compensation. The environment, I know, is of concern to you and all of our neighbors. Our commitment is to anything that we're involved in, we're going to operate it in accordance with all federal, state, local rules, policies, and guidelines. In addition, we believe it's our incumbent responsibility to leave the properties that we're involved with in equal to or better shape than we leave. The last thing I would like to show you is innovation. And what we have found over the course of our history is that innovation is a key to business. And one of the, it's a simple thing, but your people have got to be let go. We believe the people closest to the work make the best decisions. Our people are empowered to go ahead and operate this business. And we are operating today with the identical people that Eddie and Sue were operating with, but we have added several people in addition. Our core values, they're all honorable things, but the basis is trust. As we all know, trust makes everything go better, whether it be a wife, whether it be a business partnership, whether it be a friendship. If you trust the people you're working with, that makes everything go well. The level of trust between the Kays and Cheney Enterprises is extremely high, and we believe in each other, and we believe what the Kays are doing is helping us. The Kays believe it's helping in their succession planning. We do have a culture of safety. Those are just some of the benchmarks that we have. I think that you, if you check our DOT, we've got great record with any regulatory agency that oversees our company, from the trucks to the plants to the sites. And as a matter of fact, we are used as an example of several Friday nights ago. We received 3 national awards in one evening for safety. Another award I wanted to make you aware of, because I would think you'd want to know what employment opportunities are available to the people of this area. We have won the Alliance for Workplace Excellence for Metropolitan Washington, D.C. Every year consecutively since 2009. We submitted this for review today, and since that time, we've also won it for 2016. It's not something we write. We apply for it. They send investigators in to meet with our people. They don't meet with me. They meet with the boots on the ground, and the award goes to companies that have career opportunity, advancement opportunities. Quite frankly, let guys like Eddie go from a shovel operator, I mean a hand shovel, and people like me who started as a mechanics helper to be in positions of ownership in these businesses. Flexible workplace conditions, educational opportunities, the touchy-feely things that people really want in a workplace. So we've won it again for 2016. The company that we're in is GE Capital, Washington Medical Center, Capital First, and CarMax. So those are, and Marriott Corporation, those are your winners. In 2013, the National Ready Mix Concrete Association recognized us as the company in North America that gave most back to the communities in which they operate. So that was a great award. We're all about being involved with the communities. We've won the United States of America Award for Land Reclamation. We've won the Maryland State Award for Land Reclamation. If any of you are golfers, the award we won is called Renditions Golf Course, which we built on one of our mining sites in Davidsonville, Maryland. We're very active in the communities that we operate. We're also very active in our industry trade associations, and it's not just paying our dues and going and having a cocktail. We take leadership roles, and we believe that's our incumbent responsibility to support the industry that supports us. The Cheney Foundation is our philanthropic side of our business. We do give 10% of our net income back to charitable organizations in the communities in which we live and work. To this date, I have not found any company in this country that gives 10% of their net profit away every year. There is a need. We asked about the need. There is a need for our product. There's the per capita need for our product. That's a long-lasting need. There's the need for the sand and gravel. and it will be there. And one of the things that we looked at is when Eddie is looking for sustainability for his company and succession planning for his company, it was an opportunity for us. Opportunity creates opportunity and jobs. Eddie said we're up to 30. We started out with 25 not too long ago, so we've added five. And there's the opportunities. These are not shirt and tie jobs. We're primarily a blue-collar company. Our average person at Sussex Sand and Gravel last year made $64,000, which is 247% above the average individual income of Sussex County, and at least is the information that we could find. They're great, high-paying career opportunities. Every person, when they come to our company for orientation, is given a career path from wherever they enter to my job. I will not be there forever. And if they set their goals, they can do exactly what I've done. That's the areas that we operate in. We operate Maryland, and now hopefully in Sussex County, Delaware, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. So with that, I thank you very much for giving me the time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have for me or any member of our team.
After the 2 years is up, is Eddie going to take you fishing with him all the time?
I would hope. He hasn't offered yet, though.
Oh, he hasn't?
And Everett wants to know where the geese are.
That is in our Waldorf facility.
Questions of council?
Let me just... 19 is the one you want to change. Now, you will get the environmental impact study done next year, I guess?
Yes.
Is that coming up soon?
It's 1 or 2 years.
Right. It says in the thing after 2017, that date. After that date, it's supposed to be complete.
It's supposed to be one done. So that's we're not waiving that.
No, sir. We have agreed to that.
After April 9th of 2017.
Okay, so that still stands. Okay.
Are you looking at tab 6, Mr. Cole?
What's that?
Are you looking at tab 6?
I'm looking at a tab
2
or something with a condition.
If you take a look at tab 6, paragraph 2, you'll see what this thing will look like if you were to favor us for the...
Tab 6, okay. Let me just keep...
Keep going.
Because I've made some notes here. And then it also said in the 118. Remember 18. You still abide by 18, right? That's still part of it, right?
All the other 18 remain.
So, your office has been every 5 years, going out there, right? Okay, doing all that.
And the staff has been out and investigated each 5 years.
Okay, and then you notify. It looks to me like you're supposed to notify DENREC.
Right.
And then DENREC, if they change regulations, have they changed regulations with? Has things changed every 5 years?
Not that I'm aware of, but we still notify DENREC, and they have to be in compliance of the then existing regulation, which would be at the time they submit their plans, not the past regulation, the current regulation in effect. They have to be in compliance with current regulation.
Every 5 years, as things change?
Existing. So as the regulation change, they have to be in compliance with those regulations.
With the new regulation. Right, okay. So I'm assuming you are, right? Everything's mm-hmm. Okay. And I can't remember what were your setbacks around the pit. Did we have a? Did you have any setbacks from the property lines?
They're all stated in there. I can't read them.
I'm trying to find them. I couldn't. I know there's some setbacks from like the wetland area, which is this is a tributary of the Nanticoke River.
One of condition number 5, the boundaries of the bar pit excavation areas would be noted on the drawings, except that the setback from wetland delineation shall be increased from 25 to 50. To provide additional protection to that sensitive area. That was one. And the other was on the site plan, which is a...
What are they? What, I mean, party they update. Don't go right up, because some of the old days we went right to the boundaries
they
and stuff.
They are...
I don't think we did
these,
that.
These don't.
Yeah. 400 feet from any existing dwelling not on the premises?
Right, no, I'm just... But around the rest of the perimeter, around the property line.
It's at least 50 foot all the way around. So you get back to the creek and then it's wetland area. They have to go back further.
Okay.
That's where the berm is actually located in the setback, which is what was approved.
Right. Now, this was right around the time when we were, I think, adding a lot of things right to the bar pit issues, because we had a number of bar pits coming along, and you got caught up in that.
That's where you got caught up in the environmental impact study being approved by DENREC.
Right. Okay.
That was the biggest thing that changed.
Okay. Did you ever, you never did do the bridge and the and conveyor belt?
I couldn't get the permits.
Okay, because that was supposed to go over that little branch of the Nanticoke Road, right? Okay. And is there any intent to try to go back and try to?
No, that's thing of the past.
Okay, is there anything on here we can strike and say that that's gone so we don't have another future owner come in and read that and say they could go do it?
They didn't apply to amend any other condition. Just basically that what it says on, see if I can find it. In the event the applicant is denied permission to construct a bridge described in stipulation to access to the site shall be from the existing entrance on Coverdale Road, which is 531. The site plan was later approved to be entry off of San Felipe Road.
In other words, I think
that's their only access to the site since they don't have the bridge to interconnect with the other.
With the other, your other old one across the road, right? Yeah, that was, I had a lot of concern about that. I didn't like that one when I heard it the first time. And there's no way we think that that's going to ever occur in the future.
No.
Okay. All right, we got you on record saying you don't want to do it.
The other site's right? Basically pretty much mined out.
Right, and what we wanted, our intent there was to operate out of one office.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's too late for all that now, so we had the expense of putting in the entrance, the office, you know, the scale house there. We paved all the roads back in there. So we actually went above what we were asked to do in there. If you ride in there, you can see.
No, I remember. I do remember.
Anything else?
Dale and I argued over different things about it.
You probably lost two if you were there.
Huh?
You
need all go ahead,
yes.
Hand up.
Mr. Cole, I would just like you said, and a future owner comes in, there is no intention on our part to sell this business, and I would like to point out we have an agreement to leave the ownership as is for 100 years, which was signed in 1998. I'm not going to make it, they'll buy me out, but Becky and Kyle are both of the group that is being groomed to run Cheney Enterprises, and as you can see, they're young people.
She can use a computer. Sure.
She can use the computer and run a sand and gravel plant.
Hey, what is he on? And he can't do both of those.
Mr. Schrader, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not have any other witnesses. Mr. Moore, you want to take a seat?
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public record on this and also the public hearing.
We'll close the public hearing. It's okay with council. Close the public record.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Moore, if you read the short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend condition 19 of conditional use number 1431, ordinance number 1530, to allow additional time to complete the existing borrow pit operation located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 200.5 acres, more or less, along with reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 6.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance for conditional use 2043 with the amended conditions.
Have a motion and a second to approve conditional use number 2043. With the conditions and reasons as stated by planning and zoning public hearing. Questions on the motion? We will take the vote. Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes. It seems a very reasonable request.
Mr. Wilson.
I'll vote yes. I can't see a thing wrong with the project. I've looked at it several times. That's a good project.
Takes three, doesn't it?
Yes.
I also agree with the condition. I see no reason why we wouldn't do that, and they're certainly good stewards of the land, I think. I'll vote yes, motion carried.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Next, Mr. Moore.
Thank
yes,
you,
the...
and we will make you a good neighbor. Thank you all.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very
and make
much.
Make sure he
sir.
Takes you fishing.
The next matter is change of zone number 1793, Church of God of Prophecy.
Yes, thank you. This is the application for change of zone 1793 for the Church of God of Prophecy, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 5.06 acres more or less. Property is located west of Zora Road, Route 48, 200 feet south of Sussex Pines Road, Road 224. 911 address is 21950 Zora Road, Georgetown. The tax map ID is District 135, Map 23, parcel 18.01, 18.02, and a part of 18.03. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application. We heard comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Commission received the same or similar booklet as what is just presented to you as an exhibit booklet from Pannoni Associates. There were three letters and a petition containing 242 signatures in support. Mark Davison, Vice President of Pannoni Associates, was present on behalf of the application and gave testimony. And Ms. Cornwell, my staff, provided the commission with comments prepared by the staff when they reviewed the application. There were no parties present in support of the application. Glenda Scott, an area resident, expressed concerns about traffic, speeding traffic, sewer issues, and added that the church had been a good neighbor. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. There were a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried 4-0 to defer action for further consideration. It is noted that Mr. Smith did not participate and abstained from participating in the discussion and the vote. On March 10 of 2016, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone number 1793 for the Church of God of Prophecy for a change of zone from AR1 agriculture residential to CR1 commercial residential based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this application is for an area that is entirely surrounded by commercial zoning. In addition, this application will eliminate inconsistencies between the zoning line and the boundary line. It is an infill rezoning to create a uniform zoning classification. Two, according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map, the applicant's property is located in a developing area. CR1 commercial residential zoning is appropriate in this area under the plan. Three, commercial zoning is appropriate for this parcel, given its close proximity to the town of Georgetown, the Delaware Department of Motor Vehicles, the Sussex Correctional Institute, Georgetown Speedway, and U.S. Route 113. Four, the site is located in an area where other business and commercial uses and zoning currently exist along Zora Road and U.S. Route 113. Five, the rezoning will not have an adverse effect on neighboring properties, roadways, or the community. Six, the property is served by the town of Georgetown for both domestic and fire suppression water. Seven, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. Eight, for all these reasons, it is my motion that the commission recommend approval of change of zone number 1793 for the Church of God of Prophecy. Therefore, there was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried with three votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for those reasons stated. The motion carried 3-0, and again, Mr. Smith did not participate in the discussion or the vote. For the benefit of the record and something, like mine, bear with me a sec. Several months ago, the council and the commission had discussion and asked for more input from the staff. So I don't know if you have a copy of the memorandum that was prepared by Ms. Cornwell that I referenced earlier. Do you have that?
Is it in this book?
No. Okay, I'll just do it. Do it. Summarize it real quick.
Do it.
What we did at the request of council has asked us to provide you with more comments. We provide that comment to the Planning and Zoning Commission that is then forwarded in their recommendations to the council when we have public hearing. This is a, and so today we're going to offer that comment to you, and we plan on doing that in the future. It may be revised, shortened, lengthened, whatever you feel is appropriate on what you need to help make your decisions in the future. It is not a recommendation of which way to go. It's a recommendation that, of information that you might need to hear. Okay. So this was a memorandum. It was presented by staff to the commission to provide background and recommendations to the commission to consider as a part of this application to be reviewed during the public hearing. This recommendation should be included in the record of the application and be subject to comments and information that may be presented during the public hearing. Made reference to the property location and the current zoning classification and what's around it. Makes reference to the comprehensive plan update being the comprehensive plan of 2008, which I've already referenced in the motion. Makes reference to the land around it, which makes reference to Zor Road in the developing area, that a portion of the property across Zor Road is located within the town of Georgetown. The developing area land uses classification is typically located adjacent to municipalities. The surrounding zoning are CR1 to the north, south, and west, and AR1 to the east across Zor Road, with a portion located within the town of Georgetown. The uses in the area include a school, multiple state facilities, and offices, agriculture, and residences. The existing use of the church is a permitted use in both AR1 and CR1 zoning classifications. The proposed use of the daycare requires a special use exception, and the use of the proposed school requires a conditional use. We listed all the uses that are permitted in a CR1 zoning, which makes reference to B1 also. So there's a longer list than what we included in the reference of the content of that memorandum. And there are basically hundreds of uses that could be placed in a C1 or a CR1 zoning category. Staff supports the change of zone request from AR1 to CR1 as the proposed zoning is consistent with the land use in the comprehensive plan. The change of zone will eliminate the split zoning of the parcel being 135-23 parcel 18.03, and there are commercial uses within the area. That's the basic text of the memorandum. It just didn't give you a long list of all the permitted uses, which you're already pretty much aware of.
Any questions?
Basis of our input.
Any questions from council?
So basically, for the change of zone was required to be able to do the daycare.
The change of zone would bring the whole parcel into one zoning category. It's an expansion of the parcel that's already zoned commercial where the church is presently existing.
It is. Oh, it was already rezoned commercial.
The parcel includes several acres of ground. And this is an expansion of 5.06 additional acres.
For a total of 10 acres?
Look at the map. I'll go ahead and I'll look that up for you.
Okay.
I've got it on the map somewhere.
All right.
And that way you can proceed with your public hearing.
Okay. If there's no other questions, Mr. Davidson.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates, located outside of Milton, Delaware. With me today is Dr. Anastasio Matamoros, who is the pastor of the Church of God of Prophecy and the applicant for this rezoning. As Mr. Lank handed out our hearing booklet, and inside the booklet we have everything that we wanted to place on the record as far as the support for this application. This property is subject of this rezoning. The properties are identified as tax parcels 135-23, and there's three parcels that are involved, and it's parcel 1801, which is about 0.77 acres, 0.75 acres, and then there's 1802, which are the two smaller parcels that are located up along this right here, in this area here. Those are the two smaller parcels that are part of this, and both of them are about 3/4 acres. And then there's a portion of the larger parcel that is a total of approximately 6.5 acres. Part of that, 3.51 acres, right now, as shown on this zoning map here, is currently zoned AR1. The other property, which is 3 acres, is already is currently zoned CR1. As you can tell by this the zoning map here, we are surrounded by general commercial zoning on all three sides of the property. The property is located on the west side of Zora Road, Zora Road being a major connector road between a couple of major roads, one being Bedford Street, which is also the Route 9 truck route, and then Route 24 B, which is located to the south, which is on the southern side of Zora Road. The proposed rezoning of the lands are, again, surrounded by the CR1. This is an infill of continuing the CR1 for this piece of property. I have placed in the hearing booklet an area map, and as was indicated by Mr. Lank, and in the report that was read into the record, there are several commercial zones within this area. Just to name a few, you got Robert Septic Service, you got DeMarva Christian High School. We are located adjacent, this property is located adjacent to the Delaware Motor Vehicle, and then there's several other smaller commercial zones up and down the within the area. The rezoning will alleviate the parcel 1803 from being split zoned. Right now, again, currently being CR1 and AR1. Parcel 1803 is approximately 6.5 acres, and 3 acres of that right now is zoned AR1.
Can I interrupt you a second?
Yeah.
That basically answers Mr. Cole's question that this exhibit shows the commercial boundary already exists around this entire parcel that's proposed for CR1 zoning to be the same zoning category as what's already existing.
That's correct, yes.
And the yellow is going to become the pink.
The yellow is going to become
the yellow is going to become pink. And that was all zoned CR1 years ago.
Several years ago.
Part of that big project.
Rodney Smith was the applicant at that time.
It was going to be like warehouses or somewhere.
Originally intended, but never happened.
Never happened.
About, right about the time the market economic bang hit us at the same time.
If favorable, the entire parcel would become 8.06 acres of land of total CR1 zoning. And again, the CR1 zoning, the split zoning right now, what the applicant is proposing to do right now, it's an existing 400-seat church, and they're looking to expand the church to become 1,000 seats. And in order to do that, with the cost to do the project and all the infrastructure, having this as a CR1 looks more favorable in the appraisal process, as well as them being able to finance the project moving forward. I know that the use isn't part of the rezoning, but in tab 4, I placed in tab 4 what the proposed project, and if I get to the plan here, as you can see here, is what we're proposing is a 1,000-seat sanctuary. The existing church and worship center is located right here, and that's approximately about 400 seats. They're planning on keeping that and using that for the youth of the church, and as well as providing a brand new 1,000-seat sanctuary and a multi-use hall to be able to support the church. It was read into the record as part of the report that we were looking to do a daycare. No daycare is being planned for this property at this time, so our rezoning will not. We understand that if a daycare was ever to happen here, we would have to come in for a special use application before the Board of Adjustment, but we're not. There's no plans for a daycare or a school for this property. Again, this is for the expansion to be able to expand the church from 400 seats to 1,000 seats. The other thing here is the existing entrance that's already located on Zora Road will not be sufficient enough to be able to support the 1,000 seats. So what we're looking to do is obtain there's going to be a shared easement with the properties that are owned by Rodney Smith on the south side or the I guess we could say the southwest side or of the property, southeast side of the property, in this area right here, we're going to do a shared access. And working with Delta, this Mr. Smith's property was a subject of a traffic impact study back when his property was rezoned. That traffic impact study is still in effect, and we're going to be working with that as well as DLDOT to be able to provide a shared access, to be able to provide a safer access to what is going to be part of the expansion for this property. The 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, as was read by Mr. Lank, this is in a developing area. It's also in a level two spending for the state policies and spending. The proposed commercial rezoning is in character with the nature of the area and should not adversely affect the neighborhood or the adjacent properties. The property currently is served by the town of Georgetown for both fire and domestic. The existing sanctuary has a sprinkler system already inside, so there's sufficient water capacity by the town of Georgetown. Located on this site, in this area right here, is an existing septic system that is on site. The Georgetown wastewater system is down the road a ways, so they haven't been able to expand the system, but as soon as the system is being able to be brought to the property, the town of Georgetown has indicated their willingness to be able to serve the property, even though we're outside of their town boundaries.
They're going to be able to build a 1,000-seat sanctuary with the existing septic systems?
That'll have to be upgraded. The existing septic system will be upgraded.
I can't imagine that would accommodate all that.
No, it will be upgraded through Denerac.
All right.
Forward connection to the town system when it's available.
When it's available, yes. Right. The connection will be to the town when it's available. The rezoning request will not increase the congestion on the roads and the streets, as is indicated by the absence. There was no traffic impact study that was required for this particular application. We are on a major connector road, Zora Road is considered. And then the proposed rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance, being located in an appropriate location, maintaining the nature and purpose of the property for the use as a church and worship center, which is serving the area and is located in an area with a general mixture of commercial, institutional, and service activities, and is essential and desirable for the general convenience, orderly growth, prosperity, and welfare of the county. And with that, that's all I have today, and I'm glad to take any questions.
Any questions from council? Any questions? Seeing none. Do you have any other witnesses or any?
No, sir.
Okay, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here today to speak in favor? Seeing none. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, won't you come on up?
My name is Glenda Scott, and my sister and I actually own the property adjoining the church's property. And my questions aren't necessarily in opposition, but I have some, I guess I will say, philosophical questions based on what I heard and concerns. The church is able to be built with its current zoning. I don't know that if the county does this all the time, changes zoning to facilitate financing. But as a taxpayer, I have concerns about that, I'll be honest. And that's what I heard the first time, and I heard it again today, that it could be built, but because they can get greater financing. And I understand putting all the commercial together. But if you do that from a homeowner's perspective, you've made it a much larger parcel of land should the church decide to move elsewhere. Potentially, you've taken a few acres of commercial, and now you can build a much larger commercial project. At the same time, you have a commercial project on the opposite side of the road, directly across from where Mr. Smith's family home was, that's limited to 8 employees. So the man cannot...
That's a conditional use.
Oh, I was told it was, okay.
It's a commercial activity.
Right.
What commercial, okay.
It is,
but he is limited to 8 employees. So his business at one point grew. He couldn't operate out of there anymore. Right. So I see conflicts. And that's my concern as a property owner. I just see some conflicts, and really concerned about using a zoning to increase your financial potential. And it may happen all the time. I'm not in the business world. I'm just someone who happens to be involved because it's next to my house. And the church is a good neighbor. I don't have any problem with the philosophical concept of a large church, but I do have concerns about the zoning change and the potential that that can create for that community. Many of the what are being considered commercial uses are non-conforming uses. Roberts is the only other piece I know that, and it's now a conditional use that I thought was commercial.
Yeah, I'm trying to, it's, it was approved for an electrician.
Yes, Eric James.
Eric James, that's the warehouse that's way in the back, and had to put up a fence next to the neighbor's house, and limited on employees, I believe.
It was limited, I believe, to 8.
I think so.
There is an argument out there that lenders are hesitant to lend money to organizations, and their concern is if they end up stuck with this loan, what do they've got? They would rather have commercial land than agricultural land.
I understand that.
I understand that too. But
it could also be if the church decides to move to a backdoor, what I will call a backdoor approach.
Right.
To something totally different. Once that zoning occurs, it's an open ball game to anything
whole list of
that is in that whole long list.
Lawrence, what,
can I make a point first?
Yes, go ahead.
Linda, right next door to you, that portion of the property is already zoned C1 commercial.
And I stood before, right. Before and opposed.
Where the church has proposed is actually in that commercial piece.
It part of it is, yes.
The other two or three lots that are proposed for rezoning are the AR portion, which is surrounded by commercial property already.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Further south of it. I just want to make sure you knew that.
Yeah, I understand that. And my concern is not the church itself,
right,
but what the future potentially could hold.
Sure.
If plans change or they can't get the money based on this commercial rezoning, then it becomes a parcel of property that could be for sale with goodness knows what coming
right.
in.
Cool. But quite a bit was already zoned commercial years ago.
About three, four years ago.
That's the dilemma, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember when, but it's been several years.
It's been, years. Maybe 4 years.
Maybe more than that.
Probably longer.
Well, you know, when you get older, time goes fast.
Mike understands. Young guys like
you wouldn't understand that, Mr. Wilson.
Did you have anything else to add?
No, that's all. Just okay. Those are my concerns.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if council desires, close the public record.
We'll close the public hearing. It's okay with council. Close the public record.
Okay.
Ask Mr. Moore to read a short title. So you want to do something or
an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 5.06 acres more or less. For reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 8.
Pleasure, Council.
We can zone it according to it has to be specific. A church has to be built up, correct?
No, not on zoning.
For change the conditional use, you can change the zone, you cannot.
No.
All we do is change the zone and.
I'll make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Motion, Mr. Cole, to adopt the ordinance. Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
After hearing the application and discovering that the parcels are surrounded by commercial, the additional change to these three are probably not going to have that much of an impact. I think the previous application where there was some concept that was put in front of us that the majority of the council agreed and approved and supported. Never came to fruition, but we're stuck with this commercial land. So I don't see this as being, at this point, it's kind of like the cat's out of the bag or something. So I will vote yes to support the changes.
Mr. Wilson.
The reason I'm going to vote for it, I think people going to church is going to certainly make a better place for I live in Paceford an hour. I found a little church somewhere, church where church was being built. You know, it's, I at least better than having brickbats thrown through your glass windows, people trying to get into the windows or into the cars. So I certainly going to vote yes.
I do understand the point brought up by the opposition about once we change the zone, it could be anything. It's in CR1 zone. And having said that, with the fact that there is CR1 around most of this thing, I think Mr. Cole said that the cat's kind of bag from previous zoning, I guess. Hopefully, as you said, the church has been a good neighbor. Hopefully, it'll continue to be a good neighbor. I'm going to vote yes, Mr. Carey.
Okay, thank you. That is all.
Is there any motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson. Question on the
thank
motion.
Thank you for coming, Glenn.
We'll take a look, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I believe yes, motion carried. We're now adjourned.